Well, good morning. I'm going to try something new today. Can you give me some grace? We're going to turn this fan off because it's blowing in my microphone. So I want to tell you, when you're a mobile church, we've been doing this for a couple of years, and one of the things I realize is I come up with some amazing ideas, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But we have an incredible team here that helps with this. And so today, as we're starting this new series, I kind of wanted to teach a little bit differently. I try new things because I know that you have sat somewhere in a meeting at your office or at work or something. And so if you're over here and you can't read that, it's going to be up there. And so this is not a teleprompter. I'm not Obama. I'm not reading a speech this morning. I'm actually going to be doing something some of you have heard about. It's called preaching. You know, there's still preachers in the world today, and I realize sometimes in our lives today, you know, sometimes I'll go speak somewhere, and they call me a speaker. You know, this is a speaker, okay? I'm a preacher, and I'm here to proclaim God's word. I'm going to do the best I can, so let me pray for us today. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to talk about your word, God. I thank you that family is one of the most important things that you ever created, because in the beginning, you created us to be a family. And so, God, I realize this topic is so diverse and we're in so many different areas of our lives. So just help us to wrestle with the ideal of what you taught in an unidealistic world, God, but the truth remains. And help us this morning just to have grace in our heart. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be in this series called Future Family. And one of the things I know today is that many of you are going to have more questions than answers. And so I want to invite you to come back next week, because I'm gonna pose a question that if all of us would answer or ask this question and answer it, something will change in your family, in your life. I just believe that. In the next coming weeks, I'll talk about conflict and how do we deal with that. And one of the weeks, I'm excited. I've got a special couple that's actually going to talk to us. And they've been married a lot longer, 20-something years. I've only been married 10. I've only been a parent 6. So I called in some professionals to come help. But I'm just excited today. And what I realize about this topic is family is diverse. You see, there are people here, and you may be here. You're not on your first marriage. You may be on your second. You may be on your third. I know my parents divorced at an early age, and that's something that, you know, we had to go check the card. You remember as a kid, you're like, well, what do? I have two dads. Do I write them both on there? You know, they're better about that today. But when you're younger, you know, you had his and hers and theirs. And, you know, you ever try to do a family tree project when your parents are divorced? Like, well, do I count the step-grandparent or this grandparent? I mean, I just got a lot of people in my life. Could I just put that on the sheet, teacher? And they're all family, you know? And so it's complicated. There's diversity. But I know two things this morning. And the first one is this. Let's see, is it going to work? There we go. We didn't have a choice in the matter. We didn't have a choice. You can pick your friends, but you didn't get to pick your family. You ever thought about that? I remember when I was in high school, you know, you get to a certain age and you realize, like, these blinders come off, right? And you're sitting in a family gathering and all of a sudden everybody just looks a little different, you know? And I don't mean better. They kind of seem different. You know, your aunt, your crazy aunt that's just, she's just gossiping. She's raking on about this family and that family member. And you got that uncle. And, you know, I had an uncle like this. And, like, dude, if you have one more beer, I'm pretty sure we are going to have to carry you home. And you know, you got that uncle, and then you got some other people. I remember my grandmother, I mean, Lord, help us. I could have gone to Waffle House and eaten an all-star special, and she still would try to get me to eat a bowl of oatmeal. And I'm like, Grandma, I just ate. And you know, you realize this about your family, and then something happens when you get married, though. It all reverses. You get married, or you hit your 30s, and you go, and you're like, man, I don't know a whole lot. And I realized that today. When we had children, I thought I knew a lot, and then I realized I didn't. And this sort of hit me one day. You know, you think you're teaching your kids things, right? But sometimes they teach you. And I'll never forget this time Avery came home from daycare, and we were in a small town, and it was a Christian daycare. And I remember we went to eat, and he was like 2 and a half. And we went to eat, and before we ate, I was about to dive into my food. He goes, and I was like, what are you doing? And Lori's like, oh, they've taught him to pray. And I felt really convicted. I was like, I'm the pastor of a church, and I haven't even taught him that. You ever feel that way sometimes, you know, that somebody else teaches your kids things, and you're like, man, I need to up it up on the parent. And so the second thing that I realize is this, is that, here we go, technology. No one you're related to is as smart as you. Have you thought about that? No one you're related to is as smart as you because you think you know everything. And one of the things I realize today is we just don't know enough. And so the tension I have when we talk about family is that we didn't get to pick our family. Sometimes we think we know more than our family. And so where does that leave us this morning? There's little or few good examples in the Bible about family. And as I started thinking about this, I mean, have you seen the story of Jesus? If you're not a church person, you got to look this story up. There's actually a story in the Bible where Jesus is in the temple learning, and guess what? His parents lose him. He's lost. Like, they were gone down the road. How do you not? I mean, Mary, you knew he was the Son of God, and then you forget him at the temple. You ever, anybody ever got forgotten before? You know, it's scary. Walmart was big when you were a kid, and I can't imagine being a kid in super Walmart. I know I used to go and hide under the clothes racks. Did anybody do that? And then your mom would come, and you'd jump out, and you would scare her, and she wishes she could give you to another family. But there's not very good examples of families in the Bible. I started thinking about the beginning. I mean, look at Adam and Eve. Adam chooses Eve over God. John Eldridge says it this way, that Adam chose Eve over God, and man's been choosing woman over God ever since. And if you don't think that family's dysfunctional enough that they were the first to sin in the Bible, look at their children. We have the first homicide in the Bible. I mean, they've not even seen a video game or graphic TV, and Cain and Abel kill each other. You get closer in with King David, and King David and his son, they end up having a civil war. And so I'm looking at the Bible, and I'm like, Lord, help us. There's not any really good families. And then you get to the New Testament, and there's great instructions. In fact, this morning, we're going to look at some teachings from Jesus, the Apostle Paul sort of puts together. But there's no real clear family that we can look at and say, that's it, that's the family, that's who we're going to emulate. And so it makes it hard to teach on this because I realize that family is difficult, family is tough, that the word father, son, daughter, mother, those words are not emotionally neutral. They come with some baggage. And so this morning I want us to sort of wrestle with that because these instructions that Paul gave. Here's the issue today, and I'm going to give you a disclaimer. Some of you, this is going to sound really old-fashioned, and some of you are going to say, that is something my grandmother would have taught, but I want you just to think about this for a second, because the context of the passage that we're going to look at is not to America. It's to some Roman Greeks that were outside of Jerusalem, and Paul would have known that in their cultural context, they had never seen what he was about to teach. In fact, it would have been completely foreign for them. Have you ever been to a foreign country or you've seen something on TV and you're like, that is really weird, that we would never do that in our culture? I could tell a story of my mother-in-law being in China, and she said when they potty train kids, they actually potty train on the roads. Like number two, on the road, like your dog on the, Yeah, that's we wouldn't do that. And so I want you to think about something. It's culturally different as how we potty train our children. This would have been culturally different. And the next thing you got to know is this, is that during this time, women and children, they didn't have the rights that we had. And so in a lot of ways, what Paul is about to teach would have seemed very futuristic. It would have seemed very idealistic, and they didn't have a clue. And so how does family work? And I'm going to see if I can get this to work. And if I can't, I'm going to punt. Let's see. I'm going to just do the screen up here. So here's our text this morning, Ephesians 6, 1 through 2. Children, who? Don't you love this verse? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor. We're going to talk about that word in a few weeks. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now, I want you to think about that because this is mind-boggling to them. You see, children didn't have elevated rights. In fact, sometimes in this culture, animals would have had higher priority than women and children. And so when you think about this, this is so culturally different than what we in America just assume. You know, there's times we read stuff like this and we think it's always been that way. You ever think about that? It's always been that way. Well, guess what? It wasn't for these people in the first century culture. of the Roman Greeks, it would have never sunk in that way. It would have seemed really, what do you mean we're going to be nice to kids? They're not going to honor us. We don't even care if they honor us. And so some of the context here is that babies, they didn't even live sometimes. And so sometimes infants, they wouldn't even be named because so many would never make it. And so this is so culturally different. But here's the good news this morning as we read this. It's going to breathe life into a culture, and I believe that it can do that with us today. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Don't we love that one, guys? You know, I meet a lot of religious people. Do you know what religious people are? Those are people, I mean, they kind of know about God. I think they think they're a Christian, but sometimes they quote things I've never read in the Bible. And you know, they like that verse, but they don't like this next verse in 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh. Man, I thought about that word this week. You ever been harsh to your wife? I never have. I'm not guilty of that. And so thunder's going to strike me and lightning. Husbands, do not be harsh. Think about men in this culture who women and children had never had rights to hear that for the first time. And so it says, fathers, do not embitter, another word in another translation is exacerbate. Do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Wives, how many of you have husbands and they aggravate your kids? Anybody? You can nudge your husband, you can do that. Don't aggravate, don't entice your kids. It seems like sometimes this is the hardest teaching that I have because sometimes I want to aggravate Lila. You know what I mean? She's Miss Sassy Pants, and she comes in, and she's acting sassy. I want to be sassy back. And so he's saying here, don't do that, Jeremy. That's just for me, not for y'all. 1 Peter 3 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect. Treat them with what? Respect. Think about that word. As the weaker partner and as heirs, I want to focus on that word, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Think about this for a second. When we treat our wives with respect, doesn't that typically get us somewhere? I mean, doesn't that get us in a good place? But what you got to focus on in this is that they would be heirs with you of this gracious gift. Now, the reason that this verse would have been really difficult is this, guys. How many of you got to choose your wife? Can I see hands? You got to choose? Come on, this is participation. You didn't get to choose? Okay. You're in an arranged marriage then, because that's what happened at this point. They would have been in an arranged marriage, and when you see this, think about it for a second. I would have a defense here. God, I didn't even get to pick my wife, you know? She's not the one that I would have picked at Victoria's Secret, okay? And so they didn't get to pick, and they're like, what do you mean be considerate? I didn't even get a choice in the matter. And so Peter's saying, look, this is going to be totally different, but here's what you got to realize. Jesus is about to do something that's not just for men. It's for women and children. And so in this culture, women and children are about to be elevated to a status because you, women and children, will now be heirs to the kingdom. And so we all would have equal rights. And so to sum it up, here's what it's saying. Husbands, love your wives. It's saying, wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. And fathers, don't irritate your children. Don't do it. And so the problem, the tension I have with this is it seems very idealistic. And then there's reality and there's a gap. And so this is an ideal, this is a principle that was taught in this century that was completely foreign. And if I can be honest today, I think it looks foreign in our culture today because there's not a lot of people that live by these standards. You see, Jesus was in the business of constantly pointing to an ideal, but he didn't condemn those who fell short. Jesus was constantly raising the standard. He was constantly pointing to an ideal, but he didn't condemn those who fell short. And that's what we need to realize this morning because here's the tension this morning as we get into this is you and I have the ability to embrace this tension, to embrace this ideal, or we can go and embrace a different set of standards than what God originally intended. And so I realized that in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, he re-identified what it meant to be in adultery. If you haven't read that chapter, it says, men, if you think a thought about another woman, you are a adulterer. Now, how many of you felt like that this week when you saw her or this or that? Jesus is constantly raising the standard, but he's not condemning those who fell short. And so that's the tension that I have this morning, is that we have this ideal, we have reality, and there's a gap. And I want to help us this morning, because Jesus gets asked a question, a very important question in Matthew chapter 19. It says some Pharisees came to test him. Some Pharisees came to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? Is it lawful? Now they're trying to trick Jesus. You ever read the Bible? If you read this, you got to think about the context. They're trying to trick Jesus. And here's the reality. In this time, if you wanted a divorce, guess what, guys, you could do? I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. And guess what, ladies? You had no say in the matter. And so Jesus, how's he going to answer this morning? He goes on to say in verse 4, haven't you read? I always love when Jesus replies. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning, can you say that? The beginning, the ideal. Think about that. The beginning was the ideal. It was the perfection in the beginning. That at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two of them will become one flesh. What flesh? One flesh. Verse 6, so they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God joined together, let no one, not even Moses, separate. Now if you checked out, check in with me real quick, because this is what's happening. They've asked Jesus a trick question. And now the way Jesus has answered, they are confused. Well, which is it, Jesus? Moses allowed us to divorce. Now you're saying in the beginning, God wanted it to be different. What are you saying? And so he goes on. He said, why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not that way in the beginning, the ideal. The ideal here is that it was never meant that way to be that way in the beginning, but the reality and the tension today is that we live in an unrealistic world. So Jesus, what are you saying? Are you saying you don't want us to divorce? And to that, Jesus would say, yes, but for those of you who fell short, for those of you who aren't living up to this standard today, I am going to give my life for you. Whether you divorce once or twice, I am going to give my life for you. This is the ideal that my Father set in the beginning. That in the beginning, God made them man and woman, and what God brings together, what God makes one, can't be undone. You can't undo God's one. And so what Jesus is saying, because we can't undo that, because that's the way it was intended, I am going to give my life. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to bring you grace. And so this morning, how do we resolve this tension? How do we resolve the tension that there's a truth that God's teaching, but that there's grace? And I want to help us with that, because if you consider yourself a Christian, even if you don't, I will tell you that this principle will shape your life, because here's what I know, that we have a choice this morning. We have a choice to embrace the standard that God gave that maybe right now we're falling short of. Maybe at one point in our life we fell short of. But will we redefine the ideal that God set for our circumstances so that we can feel better? Or will we embrace the tension of what Jesus taught in his ideal in an unidealistic world and accept God's grace? And this is what I realized this morning, that some of you, when I read that verse about divorce, you felt kind of condemned. Some of you, if you're here and your family and relationships not doing well, you felt kind of judged. And I want to tell you this morning on behalf of Jesus, Jesus is not condemning you. Jesus isn't judging you, but Jesus also isn't lowering the standard for you. Jesus died for the standard. And so how do we resolve this? I think that we can all agree on this. If you checked out, check in right here. Listen, this is the main point here, right here. I think we all can agree that whether our situation is ideal for what Jesus taught, that we want an ideal situation for our children. You see, maybe you're here today and your family's not in the ideal, but don't you want that for your son, for your daughter? I mean, don't you think that every single mom that's out there wants her daughter to meet a man who will honor and cherish her? Don't you think, dads, that we want our daughters to find a man who will love and respect and provide for her? And so here's the thing. We can't resolve the tension, but let's dare not normalize what Jesus taught. Let's not normalize what Jesus taught to lower our standard because we're not living into it. The reality is we may not have made it. We've got God's grace, but think about our kids this morning. You know why I know you can embrace this tension and I can? Because ultimately we want something better for our children. We want something better. We want our kids to have it better. And so here's the deal. If we normalize this reality, if we say, oh, that's not realistic, that's what grandma taught, I mean, come on, that's so old-fashioned. If we take that approach, then what are we offering for our kids that Jesus taught? And you see how this principle switches? And so here's what I want to do over the next few weeks. Jesus is inviting, I think more so Jesus is instructing us to embrace the tension. And the tension is this, that we live in a world that is very confused about what Jesus taught. And you know what? Sometimes I think we live in a world where we want to lower the standards rather than do what Jesus did and elevate. And the only way that you can live within this tension today is that you realize that Jesus is not condemning you. Jesus died for you. And so when you realize that your sin, your failed relationship, your failed marriage, your failing situation today is not the end because God never wanted that in the beginning. And so just is this teaching to this first century Greek and Romans would have seemed completely foreign. I think today it's time, not for the church, but for the people of God, for us as Christians who claim to be followers of Jesus, that we don't lower the standard because we're never going to be good enough to live in it. But we take the ideals and the principles that Jesus taught and we say, you know what? I'm not totally there, but I'm working to get there. And I believe in your life and my life. Let me ask you this morning, how differently would our community look if we embrace this ideal? How different would it be when your relationships with others and they know your mess and you know their mess and you look at each other and you say, but we're embracing something that God designed in the beginning. We may not be perfect. We may not be living into it the best way we can. But Jesus is saying, listen, don't lower things. Accept my grace. And so I want to remind you this morning, and I want to land the message with this. There's a tension in this reality. Do you know what happens in countries that don't embrace this ideal? The women and the children suffer. Let me ask you today, who wins in divorce besides the lawyers? Nobody. Who's affected most? The women and the children. And that doesn't put women off the hook because men and women both cheat. But I'm just telling you, single moms, it's tough. It is very tough. And it's one of those times where you come to church and you're like, is everybody looking at me? Are they condemning me? And I'm here to say no. Because those of us who are married are just as messed up. You just see our 5-second Instagram and think we're happy. We're not always happy. It's a lie. But Jesus is saying this morning, listen, I want to point you to a better future. In fact, your family's future, your family's future depends on this ideal. That in the beginning, God wanted to take one man and one woman and make them one. And regardless if you're on the second or third marriage, the ideal and the principle still matters. And so I believe today that we owe it not just to ourselves, but that we owe it to the people that God is leading us to reach outside the walls of this school and this community, to not lower the standard, but to elevate it. And we elevate it through the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity just to talk about a very sticky situation, a very tough passages of Scripture, God, because many of us, this is completely foreign to us. This is something that we struggle with in our own life because none of us were raised in the ideal home. None of us fully understands the ideals because sometimes they seem so impossible to live out. But God, my prayer today is that we don't lower the standard, but we elevate it, because ultimately it elevates your people. God, I pray for the couple that's in here today and they're just wondering, should we even stick in it? God, I pray for the family today that just seems like life is pulling them apart, and now you got school starting and all of the busyness. God, maybe we realize today that you set out some standards, some principles, God, that if we would live into them, that they're not always ideal, they're not always easy, but they work and they matter to you. And God, I pray that over the families. I pray for the future of our families today. In Jesus' name, amen.